So I asked him if he was doing okay or if something was, you know, something was wrong, and he explained all of that. So I got to know a little more about him and the challenges that he has and such as that. Sometimes I think, you know, as amateur operators, we have each other. You take just somebody you meet on the street, and they don't know what you're talking about. It isn't that they're not interested, but they just don't have the depth of knowledge that you have about a certain topic. Where is it useful? Why is it necessary? You know, all of that. They're thinking about other things. They've got other things on their mind all the time. So you have to forgive them for that. KK4JBQ.
KK4LZI. When you check in up there on the train, on their 2-meter machine, you hear W4ATP calling on that. He's our number 2 guy over here at the EOC. Here in Pickens, when you hear him, when you check it on that 2-meter machine up at Tryon that they've got linked back in over here to our 220, which is linked to also our 440 on Classic. W4ATP, he's our Aries EC over here. You was talking about that when you hear him on their machine up there.
And sometimes, you know, they don't identify very well, so... but most of the time, yes, your net control will identify and tell you as much as they can. That's only reasonable, you know. Where are you, where have you reached, what repeater and where that repeater is and how high the antenna is and, you know, various things. And I can receive a lot of nets. Anderson's a little tough for me. And Pickens is impossible for me. Those that I have difficulty with and know anything about, it's because of the dirt. It really is. And it was because of the... the thermal belt net. Now you know about this, but this taught me a great deal, and for this reason, I am probably the southernmost station who tried to do their simplex net, and for that reason, there's just a lot more distance, and as it turns out, a lot more dirt between me and that repeater up there. If I knew, I can't tell you where the repeater's located. So, Dave Watson, who is, he's a crackerjack in a lot of disciplines, he really is. So he was able to use Google Earth to show a cross-section of the land between me and the repeater. And that was done for everybody, not just me, but it was done for everybody. And if there was a significant mountain, or if you happen to be in a valley, and if a significant amount of dirt, I like the way he put it, and I'll just repeat that. If there's a significant amount of dirt between you and the repeater, putting you in a hole, and your antenna is, you know, my antenna's about 8 feet in the air. You know, it's not 100 foot in the air. So there's a problem right there. No amount of power. You just got to be smarter about it if you don't have... the height, you've got to have power. And I don't run more than 50 watts. That's as much as I can do on this Kenwood, which is the one radio I have functioning right now. But anyway, that was real interesting when we did that simplex net. You've been part of one of those, haven't you?
Over here we've done it two or three times over the years we have. And a time or two, Briar's done it, especially when I was up there at FHJ Jean's place. Up there we've done it a time or two over there. It's like I was telling our emergency services person over here Tuesday evening, talking about the new changeover of our first responder stuff over here with way these mountains up here in Pickens County is. Topography or the lay of the land is critical with this stuff. VHF's bad, but UHF's even worse. But the lay of the land or topography is essentially what, as you say, what Dave said. I was telling him about this over here Tuesday evening. Because they plan on changing the first responder stuff off analog to digital over here eventually, but they still haven't made up their mind exactly which they're going to go with. And this is a very hilly and holy county back off up here near the North Carolina line, and we hope they make the right decision. On that part, we'll just have to wait and see.
What you mean? And if there's one thing you can count on about anything you talk about, one thing you can count on is change. And then the longer you're here, I've been here 73 years. And the longer you're here, the more change you'll see. Some of it's unsettling. You know, you might. Now that's the other side of being set in your ways. You've heard that phrase. People are set in their ways. Well, that's not always a bad thing. Constant change. Well, that's being constantly shook up and. Constant change is difficult to keep up with. And another thing, you never really get good at it. If it's constantly changing. It's expensive, you know. Going from, just for what you just talked about, going from analog to digital, that's going to leave some people out. I got to say, it just might leave some people out. I'd be out. I don't have a digital anything as far as transmitting radio is concerned. Not that I'm not interested, but, you know, I'm happy with where I am. But that's not going to, you know, long term, that's not going to fly as it is. Just not going to fly. One day I won't have to, it won't matter. One day, someday, it won't matter to me. Until then, I'll just play with what I got. And I'll be useful where I can be. And I'll take my I'll do my best to enjoy the hobby that I, those parts of the hobby that I can participate in. KK4JBQ.
Well, what Willie and I have learned about digitals from Digital T, Commercial TV, and this DMRHT that I was given here. But as the ones talking earlier on the net about code plugs, that's a key to DMR. I know the code plug exists and it has to be programmed, but I can't do it, and that's as far as I know about it.
Know anything about it either. And, I mean, conceptually, I know what it does and why it's necessary. Only because I've worked with computers, and a digital radio has got to have, you know, some of that going on. So a small amount of code And code is, you know, there's thousands of different languages, you might say, of code. And a radio code plug is just another way of writing the software that the radio will respond to take you where you want to go and to handle the operation of the radio. And it's knowing one thing. Somebody really smart has to develop that code plug, okay? But then it can be shared around. Not everybody has to be that smart or that deeply into the software. Personally, I've worked in front of a computer, goodness, since 82. So that's 20 and that's a lot of years. I've never written any software, but I've used a lot of it. One advantage of computers is that you don't have to write the pieces of software that you use. It's traded around, especially the free stuff. But it's useful, and that's what a code plug is. It's useful. It contains a lot of information that the radio can use. People who understand the language it was written in can actually look at the code and tell you what's going on. But that's not me. KK4JBQ.
Well, I ain't gonna be able to stay in here much longer, but one thing I've learned about DMR, some of it's like digital trunking, and then you got like right up here on Glacier Mountain, we got the Pickens Local. That's more or less digital local communications. And up on Caesar's Head, the Hearts people have one up there with HT. I can get into their local DMR machine up there. And the rest of it's supposed to be go through the internet like something similar to trunking. That's as much as I can tell you about it, you know. I've got a lot still to learn about that right there. And like I was saying about over here, about our first responders changing over, I hope they make the right decision, because you got a little leeway with analog. It might be a noisy signal, but you might still hear whatever it is with digital. You either hear it or you don't hear it. And in the case of someone's life, EMS or fire or even law enforcement, that might be someone's life, and you don't want to play with that kind of situation. So that's why I was saying earlier, I hope they pick the right thing. But I'll go ahead and we'll talk later, because I got to go here at 11 and take my insulin. I've got it, like I said, everything here tore apart right now, so as long as I keep my power down, I'm okay. KK4JBQ, KI4LZI.
You can keep your power down because you're looking at the repeater. You're looking at Caesar's Head, and so you can run it on low power and do just fine. You have yourself a good night. Get a good night's rest. And good talking with you. We'll do it again. This is KK4JBQ. I am clear, and I'm going to turn it off. Good night.